It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Year this show has existed, you found a way, or at least I have, to lock in on one Astro that is having a surprising year, and he becomes the show's guy, the guy I'm most happy with when they perform well. Ronel Blanco was number one. Our hero, Jason Alexander, was in year two. We're in our third season here, the show, and coinciding with the Astros. And look, with our guy from year two still toiling around with the Space Cowboys.
Still waiting.
Yeah, still
it's
waiting.
It's like a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
It's like, he'll show up.
Jason Alexander will return.
Yes.
We're just waiting for that moment, that surprise moment.
It'll just make it better in the theater on opening night.
Yeah, when everyone loses their minds because Jason Alexander's back. Whenever that happens, we will celebrate. But until that point, I don't think there's a better choice than Spencer Arrighetti, a guy who knew his previous start was a big moment for him. Beyond the fact that the team is struggling, he knew for him personally he had to get off to a good start, and he did in that first start, and he backed it up with a good performance. He walked more than you like, but he only went five, but this is what we'll take. The team's in it. They had a lead once he left, and he gets a win, his second win of the season, as the Astros beat the Guardians 9-2. So Arrighetti, leader in the clubhouse for the show's guy. Maybe not hero quality, not as of yet. Maybe we find a special sounder for him.
Yeah.
We're going to stay away from any Italian references because
okay,
the show's
so
better
not,
than that.
It's not just going to be like the Godfather
no,
music.
Or, dun, 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 dun. No, we're not going to do that either. We're going to find something else. Maybe we'll find out what he likes music-wise, and we'll get a snippet from that. But either way, it's good to see him back up his first performance with another one. And if you heard his interview on the field after the game, the first start, you could tell this is a guy who understands what maybe this means for his career to come out here and put together good performances. So, yeah, if you didn't hear it, if you can find it, maybe it's likely on the Space City Home Network account. You have to go back about a week or so. Find that, and I don't know how you wouldn't like Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah.
And then it helps that he's pitched well the last couple times. But where do we stand on this? Because Isak Paredes hit a couple home runs yesterday, days after, or maybe even just a day after, he complained about, maybe complain's the wrong word. He explained how not knowing where he's going to play every day has affected him, his at-bats this year. It is just weighing on him not to know when and where he's going to play, and maybe it's affected his approach. I don't know that we've ever had the conversation about where we stand on athletes explaining away their issues. This one, I'm going to show some grace and go, you know what? A guy who is, in most cases, an everyday player at a certain spot, even though the versatility is something that is helping him get on the field with the Astros, I'm going to take what he's saying and go, you know what, Isak, I got no reason not to believe you. No reason not to believe that you being shifted around day to day, depending on what the team needs, may be affecting your mental approach at the plate. I would say keep hitting like you're hitting, and it's easier for me to accept. Like, if you're like yesterday, I mean, before it wasn't going great, but if he's going to explain away his or explain his issues and come out and hit two home runs, I'll take you complaining about moving around after every game.
Yeah, because that means you're adjusting to it.
Yes,
you know, you're not early in the season, it's hard to find your rhythm. But at a certain point, like, the excuse runs out and you need to start performing before that happens.
Yeah, if that's a sign to come, all right.
Hey.
Glad you got it out of your system. And you can see the relief on his face, particularly after the first one. And he had a nice night. For the most part, the whole offense had a nice night. Someone who didn't was Trammell, because while the Astros are tied, at least going into last night, tied for the league lead in guys on the IL, we may be pulling out ahead of the Orioles. I believe the Orioles are tied with them at 15 going into last night. Trammell may be the next on the list. He was hampered. So while the losing streak is over, you won a game on the road. So that's 2 out of 11 tries, I believe.
Boom.
Things are picking up there. They're still the same old Astros in some regards. And there's another guy who's banged up.
That's Astros DNA right there.
I mean, it's part of the
Astros culture.
I mean the Heat at one point.
The most injured.
Yeah, are they going to write that on the mound like the Heat did on their court? The most injured, most
discomforted,
misdiagnosed team in all of baseball? Are they going to write that? Yeah. Where did they write that? Yeah. Are they going to write it right
center
under
field?
I thought right next to the oxy sign.
Works too.
I mean, if it wasn't, what is oxy? Not the drug, but the what are they? Carpet clean? What are
no,
they?
No, it's detergent? Like a chemical. It's some sort of chemical engineering thing.
Okay, if you write that right next to the oxy, we're the most injured, most diagnosed, ambiguous timetable team in all of baseball, the Houston Astros. So it could get to 16 very quickly, but we'll take the win. They got another game against the Guardians tonight, same time. So a bit of an earlier start than we're used to. And Ryan Weiss is on the mound, who has been atrocious this year. So savor what happened yesterday.
Well, making two good starts. I mean, maybe just making two good starts for this year's Astros, but definitely making two good starts your first two tries makes you basically Randy Johnson on this team.
I mean,
the drop-off from Spencer Arrighetti to everyone else is going to feel steep for at least the time being. But, this is a pretty big whiplash of, like, Arrighetti. Like, if you have Arrighetti going every day, feel pretty good about the Astros' chances to turn this around. The fact that four other guys need to make starts.
You know, Ryan Weiss in some ways may be the bizarro Arrighetti. He's got long hair. He's got a beard. He's wearing 51 instead of 41.
Yep.
And he's been absolutely terrible while the other guy is giving us hope.
Yeah.
He may be bizarro Arrighetti. And if he stinks it up tonight, will I start calling him bizarro Arrighetti? There's a real chance. If he's going to just follow him in the rotation and be bad after Arrighetti's good, he may be that. If you don't know the reference because you're not a nerd like me, Bizarro is a reference to Bizarro Superman, where there was a being created who had all the powers of Superman. He was just a little off. It's what I was calling Case McCoy at one point. He was Bizarro McCoy because he was almost like Colt. He was just worse in several ways that made him not Colt.
Yeah.
But he did get to play quarterback at Texas, just like his brother did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Arrighetti.
You still get to live your dream. You can still do something. But, you know, it's worse.
It's a pale comparison
to
the
like
other guy.
Wanting.
You're left wanting. As a Texas fan, and maybe you didn't delude yourself into thinking Case could be as good as Colt, you watch him out there, you see the McCoy name, you're like, well, there's something missing. Maybe more than just a little missing, but there's just not right in comparison to what we're used to.
Yeah, he was like good enough to where you're not like, it's ridiculous that he just gets to start because he's Colt McCoy's brother.
Yeah,
it's like,
you didn't think it was
good enough.
You didn't think it was
like
nepotism.
Yeah, that he's like, he's not as good. He's just not. But there's some, you know, name brand.
Yeah.
That it's connected to.
And while Arrighetti's not a big name brand, he is the best we got going. And that's a second good start from him. So kudos to him for being the beacon in the dark times of this rotation and the staff overall. But you know, the bullpen didn't give up a run, so that was good.
Man, always take that.
The Guardians must have felt really bad about themselves after this game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We couldn't touch up these pitchers. What's with us?
I need to go back and see if they gave any quotes to their beat reporters, being like, "Hey, listen, sometimes you just got to tip your cap."
someone had to have said it, because Sean is referencing. Could we get some opponents to start saying that about us? Yeah. Hey, because it hasn't gone well.
Some nights is not your night.
Yeah,
doesn't matter if it's the worst bullpen in Major League Baseball.
They're big leaguers too. Yeah. They get paid too.
Yeah.
And it's been it hasn't been a lot of nights where we could hear the opponent say that about the Astros pitching staff. But last night, maybe some Guardians dropped those gems about, hey, yeah, I mean, yeah, they struggled, but Aaron Gettys got good stuff, and sometimes got to tip your cap. Tip your cap that entire Astros pitching staff who got it done and got the win, and they go again. And we may see a lot of them tonight.
Momentum is next day's starter. Oh, no. Oh, God.
I mean, just hope. Maybe he can get through four. Maybe. I think the goal for tonight is.
Okay, yes.
The goal for tonight for Ryan Weiss is to pitch well enough so five other pitchers don't have to make an appearance. Can he do that?
That also feels dependent on Blue Ball, but okay.
Okay, sure. The goal for Ryan Weiss and Blue Ball,
who will have to pitch in the fifth inning,
is to make sure there are only two of five pitchers, not like two of six or seven pitchers to go. I'm sure Espada will make someone eat some innings, because at this point, what else can you do? But the positives are, we don't have to talk about a loss. We can talk about a good performance from a promising young pitcher. And Isak Paredes had a good night as well. We'll see about Taylor Trammell, because he got banged up last night. We'll hear from the Rockets when we come back, or at least about the Rockets when we come back. The status of Kevin Durant, what does Ime think about it, what does Shams think about it, and the conversation, because you got a lot of things to talk about between games one and two when you have this many hours in between. We start to ask the big questions, at least media does, about the build of this Rockets team, who's to blame. You know, it's just a game one, but the questions are being asked. Garrick, we'll get to you. Want to talk about Astros pitching? Boogie Cousins chimes in on who he thinks is the big problem with the Rockets, and it goes above Ime Udoka. So we'll hear from him. We'll take your calls. 713-780-3776 is the number. Astros win. Hopefully the Rockets do the same tonight. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get to the Rockets, but let's get to Garrick first. Let's talk Astros pitching. Few and far between good performances. We got one last night from Aaron Gettys. We'll see if Ryan Weiss can. I'm asking for competency. Maybe not even good. Hey, get me through four with a chance to win. Hopefully the bats stay hot after their good performance yesterday in Cleveland. What's up, Garrick?
Garrick. Hey, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I've been really – first of all, I'm a diehard Astros fan. I've been going to the games since the late 80s with my dad. Something that I noticed that's happened with their pitching, a lot of the fans, a lot of people on Dana Brown about the signings and the acquisitions he made on the pitching front. And I don't think the issue is the pitchers that they've added to the roster and removed from the roster. If you look at all their guys that he's added, all those guys have really good stuff. I mean, like Ryan Weiss throws in the mid to upper 90s, wipe out breaking pitches. Same thing with Kyway team. Like, they have a lot of guys like that. Brian Abreu, same thing. I think what's happened is they let Bill Murphy go to the Pirates, and Bill Murphy's primary role was pitch sequencing. He was their analytics guy. he puts together the game plan, the pitch sequencing for their pitchers. And if you look at the game, one thing that's happening is the other team's hitters are coming in, and they seem to have a really good game plan against the Astros pitchers. That tells me that there is an issue with the pitch sequencing. I don't know if there's anything they can really do about that at this point. And one thing I will say, it seems like the Astros, after the cheating scandal, kind of move further and further away from the analytics, just because it seems like Jim Crane may have thought, well, part of the reason why we started having the issues we were having is because we started dehumanizing the game too much, which made it easier to cheat. And it seems like every year they move further and further away from that. And I think finally now we're seeing what happens now. As simultaneous to them doing that, the rest of the league move closer to more analytics. And so letting Bill Murphy go, also if you look at the Pirates staff, which where he is now, he's their pitching coach, their staff is a top five statistically now. I don't think that's a coincidence. I'll hang up and listen. I love the show. I listen to you every day, Dale, man. You do a wonderful job. I always tell my wife, I'm like, man, dude's like a jerk, but he's like a respectable jerk. So I love the show, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
That was a compliment.
No, I hear it. I'm just laughing.
Not even backhanded, really.
I'm laughing because I don't know if his wife listens. Maybe she does, and maybe she has the opinion that that guy's not very nice. And he has to explain. No. I'm laughing at the thought of him having to defend me to his wife, but I appreciate the call, Gary.
No, he is, but.
Look, you're not wrong on this. But he's not. This is just who he is. He's not going out of his way to be this way. Either way, thank you for the call. Well, yeah, the law firm has broken up. Miller and Murphy, Josh Miller remains. Murphy is in Pittsburgh. And to Garrick's point, we talked about it, or at least I recited the numbers yesterday. For all the things that have gone bad with the Astros, they're still top five in the league in Ks per nine, or strikes per nine. So they are getting people, part of that certainly is called strikes, but they are getting people to swing and miss. It's just that when they're not forcing people to miss, things go poorly. So maybe it is pitch sequencing. It's not something I've thought of because I'm not as deep into it as you are, Garrick, but it would be something to take a look at. And if the Pirates keep up what they're doing, I don't know how that played out. You say they let him go. Maybe he wanted to go out on his own. You never know. Maybe he didn't want to be part of the law firm, as we called it. Maybe he wanted to be solo.
The guy.
The guy in Pittsburgh, and they offered him that opportunity. So it could be that. Of course, when we're in the mode that we are and the Astros are bad, we put everything that's going poorly on their decision-making. I don't know that was the decision they even made. He may have simply just said, hey, I got a shot here. It's not like I'm asking you to fire Josh, so I'm going to go. And right now, Pirates, as you said, pitching well. The Astros, not so much.
I do think enough time, like we're far enough into the season with the results being so extreme that you can, like, start to look at it and, like, actually start to read into the pitching change or the pitching coach change and actually go, like, you know, just we would do it in any other sport.
Sure.
Or if, you know, there's, say, like, two OCs, like co-OCs or something, or OC and an offensive head coach, and the offensive head coach lets his OC leave and the offense just tanks, we'd go, well, was it just the coordinator, not the head guy? Like, that is a conversation we would have. And I think with them going from, I mean, think about like 6 weeks ago, we're like, Mike Burrows, they're just going to kind of sprinkle the pixie dust on
the ex-Pirate.
On Mike Burrows, and he's going to be insane. And he's been like atrocious, like maybe a step above atrocious, but he's been really bad.
Yeah, he's not Ryan Weiss, but he hasn't been good.
Yeah. And so that mixed in with just the staff as a whole struggling, I think you can, whether it is just the, you know, pitch sequencing analytics side of it or something else, that, like, you can start to read into, like, oh, maybe they either picked the wrong guy or just it hasn't, you know, they haven't replaced what they lost.
Yeah, you could, and it's a term people use, brain drain, as you continue to lose talented people in your organization. You have a hard time replacing them. The great organizations, and the Astros had been over the last decade, find a way to find those replacements. Maybe the well simply just runs dry. And you had Strom, and then you went with the law firm, and things kept going in the way that they were. And at some point, you're not going to hit on them all. In the inverse, Cintron had to go. You hired a new pitching coach and kind of revamped that entire operation, and now one of the best offenses in baseball.
It's like a tale of two, you know, coaches, you know, where it's, or two sides of the ball, like where you have turnover on the hitting side and super positive. We have turnover on the pitching side, and so far it's been the worst in baseball. So there is like an element of like, well, if we're going to point to the offensive change from letting Cintron go and be like, see the, well, the pitching's been equal, like legitimately just equal measures as bad. It's been first and 30th for most of the year. So yeah, I think it's a good observation by Garrick. Same thing with the, just as a whole, shying away from more like cold analytical, because Jeff Luhnow was the coldest, the most analytical, like to a detriment, arguably to a detriment. Like his biggest weakness was how cold he was.
And how people felt. Even in the midst of the uprise and the winning, there were stories that came out about how the people in the front office and in those spots where Jeff Luhnow dealt with people and other people who he would consider right-hand men. We know the Todman situation from years ago. People didn't feel like the Astros was a great place to work, but we didn't care so much because the product on the scoreboard field was great. So that's how it always goes. And at some point, you start to – and if that type of way of doing things starts to wear on people.
It feels like they're, you know, whether intentional or it's just, you know, two hires post-Luhnow, but it does feel like they're kind of – stair-stepping away from that, where they go to Click, who's like still analytical, but not, you know, as much as a extremist or, you know, a zealot, like Luhnow was. But you go from Click and then you go to, you know, really like a heavy scouting background guy where it's a lot of like more, You watch him swing the bat once, and you know you just know with Cam Smith, and this might not be the like most optimal way to do it, but he had a great spring. We're gonna bring him up sometime this year. He's starting opening day as a rookie. Like you have seen the shift away from that. I mean, even who was the consiglieres to Crane after they let Click go was exclusively ex players.
While I'm listening to you, I typed in Brandon Topman's name.
Oh yeah, what's he up to? LinkedIn?
Well, I don't know what he's doing. He is on the MLB's ineligible list.
Yeah. Yeah. For what?
For screaming at the female reporters. Oh, yeah, I believe. Yeah. And of course.
Yeah.
So he's on that list. He made those inappropriate comments. He was subsequently placed on the MLB's ineligible list, which means you have to kind of file for reinstatement if you ever wanted to get a job, pretty much to get a job in MLB again. He has not done that so far in Rob Manfred's tenure. 2015 is when he took over. There have been, as I look, 7 people placed on the list, and Topman is one of them. Other people on the list, Roberto Alomar,
okay,
Chris Correa, the St. Louis scouting director. They're hacking the Astros.
Yeah. And so Astros, I was going to ask how many of them are directly involved with the Astros. I'll count him as directly involved.
That is 2. And then you've got a Mickey Callaway and a Tucapita Marcano. So
okay,
Topman is one of 7 guys.
Wow. No Luhnow?
No, he is not on the ineligible list.
He must be just shadow banned.
Maybe. Jeff, let's not play this game. All right. Like, don't even try. Don't make me put you on the list. I don't want to, but if you make me, I will. Topman, no such luck on the list. So that speaks to some of the things that are going on even while they're winning. And, you know, the Jeff Bagwell portion is a point in Garrick's direction when he talks about going away from analytics. You wanted baseball people involved, then that's why you've got those fateful signings when there's a gap between Click and Dana Brown. That's where we are now.
I'm looking for Brandon Topman on LinkedIn.
You trying to see what he's up to?
Yeah. I need to sign in. Oh, that. No.
Does he have a LinkedIn page?
Yeah. Financial engineer and data scientist. Where is he?
Where is he applying? Chief strategy officer at Stablewood.
Okay. Yeah. I see that before it gets blurred out. So
Stablewood is something. Is a data-infused real estate. He's a data-infused real estate operator. Or Stablewood is, and he works there.
All right.
So,
founded in 2020. So company size, 11 to 50 employees.
Seems like he maybe started a business after Rob Manfred said, get out of my league. So he bounced back. Not in baseball, though. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll thank you for the call, Garrick. Anyone else? 713-780-3776. We'll come back with some Rockets sound because it's game two. A lot of conversations. We'll hear from several people on this team, who they think is to blame, and how quickly things can change if they win game two with or without Kevin Durant. So we'll talk about that. But before we go to break, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. Not a lot of changes over 50 years there. They've been in business, yes, that long. Over 50 years selling great cars, trucks, SUVs to great people. And the great people at Monument Chevrolet will hook you up. It is truck month. That continues to go on. So take a look at what they have to offer at monumentchevrolet.com. Look, it's truck month, so that means you're getting great deals on their best vehicles, whether it be a Silverado 1500 or the Colorado or the Silverado EV. They're all there for you. Check out the inventory. Find that. Check out our lineup portion of the homepage and see whether an SUV fits what you're looking for, whether it be a truck. Maybe you want a Corvette. That could be on the radar for you. Find the deal, find the make, find the model, and then head on out there. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Ask for Jeff. He's their point person, or he'll be your point person. He's their GM. Any questions you may have about a deal or a vehicle, he'll answer them for you, and he'll get you set up with the salesperson that will get you through the car buying process at your own pace. They don't rush you, but if you know what you want, they're not going to slow you down and offer you other things. If you know what you want, you'll get it. And if you're still looking, they'll work with you on that as well. That's why the people at Monument Chevrolet have been selling cars for over 50 years. So, one more time, website is monumentchevrolet.com. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Want a great Chevy? Go to Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Dealer's choice, Sean. We've got sound from Shams, Ime, and Boogie Cousins.
My big three.
Of course. Could they
dream conversation rotation.
Who would you want to have dinner with? Who would you
table for four. Shams, Boogie Cousins, Ime
Udoka. Who's more likely to call you a bitch? Ime or Boogie?
I think Boogie.
You think?
I think Boogie.
You think Ime outside of a basketball scenario doesn't drop that word on people?
Yeah. And also, you know, if you watch me play, my game, I think, was very Ime Udoka friendly. Mm.
Point of attack defender, huh?
Yeah, just dirty word. Jayshon Tate. That was my...
Got it. Well, that's what prompted the last time he called someone, at least the last time we saw him.
But
call
he didn't
someone.
Call Jayshon Tate that.
He didn't call him that. He liked what Jayshon Tate had to offer. So who do you got? Boogie, Shams, or Ime, as far as sound is concerned?
Let's go with the head coach.
All right, let's go with Ime Udoka on an update on KD. KD practiced yesterday. That is good news. The hope is right around maybe 5:30 we get the news drop that he is going to play, or at least warm up with the intent to play, and then maybe an hour or so later we get confirmation that he will play. But Kevin Durant questionable for tonight. The question was brought up: can the Rockets win game two without him? Maybe we get into that after this. But here is Ime on his star player's progress.
What was Kevin's level of participation today at practice?
No, he went through about half of the stuff.
Do you have a status update on him for tomorrow?
It'll be a game time decision still. Yeah, I would say mobility probably. I mean, the pain tolerance is one thing, but actually moving and feeling comfortable doing all movements is going to be the biggest thing.
So don't you worry, everyone. Kevin Durant ain't soft. He can work through the pain, but can he be effective? I appreciate that from the head coach. Look.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not putting out there to be a cone, all right?
This isn't like – this isn't him not being able to fight through pain. The question is, can he operate in a way that's safe for him, and can he be an actual contributor as opposed to someone that gets exposed?
That's the – you know, switching it to the leading scorer on the other team that's out. That's why the Luka Doncic, you know – could he come back in game 6 or 7 if necessary, of this series? It's like, if he came back, like, we've seen Luka Doncic's bad defense in the playoffs. Like, those teams normally don't do very well. So, it's the same conversation with Kevin Durant. I mean, the Rockets are a little bit better, you know, assembled to take that, or, you know, to take that blow. But, you know, if you're putting your three best offensive players on the court, and it's Alperen Şengün, it's Reed Shepard, and it's a hobbled Kevin Durant who, you know, is already, you know, tailing off a little bit on defense. He's not bad. He can still use his size and length, but if he's not as mobile, like, that's three spots to attack for a Lakers team that needs all the help they can get on offense. So
yeah, and for an offense the Lakers displayed on Saturday, which is about player movement and ball movement. Yeah.
I think the Rockets need to step up the defense.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know that you can just hide Kevin Durant on, let's say, their least competent scorer because he's just going to have to chase guys and follow back cuts and all those things that the Lakers employed on Saturday night. So I said the question was, can they win the series? Not the series. Can they win game 2 without him? I think the answer is yes, but the real question is, do you trust them to do it? Can they play the game, which some believe they may, and certainly that people believe, right or wrong, that they did with game 1, that, hey, we're good enough to beat this Lakers team without a, let's say, 75% Kevin Durant in game 1, so let's hold him out for game 2. And then they got, if they did believe that, they got an awakening that they didn't expect. They were not good enough. They gave up 30-plus points in the first quarter. The Lakers shot the hell out of the ball, and that was enough to carry them, and eventually they had a nice third quarter as well. So I don't trust this Rockets team to win game 2 without him. I'm not saying they can't, but I also don't believe in, well, yeah, the Lakers likely won't shoot 61% from the field, but that's not the only way you can win a ball game.
Yeah.
So if they shoot less than that, but they get more shots up because you don't dominate them like 93-66, whatever it was, the shot totals, things can change that way. There are more ways to win a game for any playoff team, particularly in a series like this where two teams are hobbled. If Kevin Durant doesn't play, then, all right, we got to shoot a high percentage. After what I saw, I thought that was the only way the Lakers could win games with Kevin Durant on the floor. If he doesn't play, they don't have to shoot.
Yeah, there's more ways.
Yeah, for them there to win. Are more pathways for them to win than shooting a high percentage, because this Rockets team can find ways to be stuck in the mud on offense. They scored 98 points in a playoff game in 2026.
Yeah.
They're capable of putting up another stinker, even if the percentage isn't as bad.
In a game where they had 21, the Rockets had 21 offensive rebounds to 3. They won the rebounding battle total, 44-35. They had less turnovers than the Lakers. Lakers had 20 turnovers. Rockets only 13, which for the Rockets is insane.
That's a good total.
Points off turnovers, 24 for the Rockets because they had 13 steals. So that's a lot of getting out in transition, 11 fast break points to 4. Like, the Rockets won a lot of categories that if any one of them go the other way, if they have the turnover apocalypse game that
they're
Rockets
really
always
capable
can.
Of, yeah.
So, like you said, like, it doesn't have, the Lakers don't have to win this exact way. Now, I will say, like, I don't expect them to 53% from 3-point.
Same here, but you heard, well, let's get to this.
Yeah.
Because they only took 19, right? They made 10 out of 19.
10 of 19.
And Luke Kennard was 5 out of 5, considering how he shot and how...
Felt like 25 out of 25.
Yeah, it felt like it. How his coach is talking about him, he'll likely get up more. And this is the reasoning for J.J. Redick wanting Luke Kennard to shoot more.
We have constant conversations about that. You know, I think one of the things, just messaging-wise, was... you shooting 6 or 7 threes a game at 38% for the series is better than you shooting 3 a game at 45%. Like, we need you to shoot. And it's unlikely he'll go 5 for 5 every game, but you know, I love his level of aggression. There were two there in the second half where we've seen him turn down those shots, and he was able to have the quick trigger.
So while he's been urged to shoot more, yes, J.J. Redick's right. He's not going to go 5 for 5, but if he goes 5 for 12 because he gets 12 more up, same point total, less efficient, but that could still be the difference, and we're still pissed off that Luke Kennard had a big day. So I like most, don't expect the Lakers to shoot as well as they did in the first quarter and carry that to over 60% from the field. But the Rockets have shown other ways to lose ball games, and Sean laid it out for you that a lot of things went in their favor, and they lost the ball game. If they flip, then we could have a different style of game and still one where we're very frustrated. So, as I said, I don't trust this team to win a game without Kevin Durant.
Yeah, you can't bank it.
So I would say let's not hold him out if he's 85 to 90. Like, if you can tell me that there will be no more damage done and won't affect – not they probably can't guarantee that – won't affect his status the rest of the series, play him.
Yeah, this is a game, you know, you kind of see it in playoff series where it's like, what's the – put all the chips in game, especially for the road team to start the series in game one or two. And you get like the, okay, game one was the shot, was the, you know, Dr. Strange one finger. Like this is where they're damning the torpedoes. I think it's safe to say the Rockets, I didn't do that because they held out Kevin Durant where it seemed like Kevin Durant thought he could play and they kind of made the decision not to play him. That could have just been, you know, Kevin's a gamer and you have to protect him from himself. It could also have been a little bit of the Rockets, you know. Oh, we kind of feel like we can win this series even without Kevin Durant, you know. Feels like we could, at the very least, steal one of these early ones. They didn't in game one. So, yeah, I feel like game two has to kind of be the damn the torpedoes kind of game. You don't play again until Friday for game three. So that, you know, if you are putting Kevin out there, it's, all right, you got until Friday. You know, you got 2 days. Of two off days in between games. So that's where the long series or the, you know, lots of breaks in between games for the series, it was framed as a, you know, oh, that helps the Lakers with Luka and old man LeBron. Could end up helping the Rockets a little bit if they put him out there and he needs a extra couple days of rest.
Yeah, so you're first. Depending on what side you're on, if you're taking the risk that you don't play him and you go down 0-2, now you're asking a team, even with Kevin Durant back, who was not able to go for the first two, to win 4 out of 6.
Yeah.
You have to win 4 out of 6 in the playoff season. No matter how hobbled the Lakers are and how under-talented they are considering their absences, it's tough to beat a team who sees the finish line in sight, and you got to beat them at that point. You got to beat them at least, at least one time in L.A.
Yeah, you need two-game win streaks.
Yeah, so you would have to beat them on their home floor. Not so intimidating, but if you've already lost the first two, how's it going to feel to have to get one in L.A. to win the series? And, so I'm firmly in the camp that if he can go, he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see what happens as the game goes on.
And, it's hard to say it because it's a little conflicting, but I also think the Rockets, like, they're probably playing at, like, for a playoff game, it felt like they're playing at, like, 6 intensity as far as, like, defense. I mean, we saw it when Bronny came in. They started pressuring up him, bringing the ball up. I think you can do that to Marcus Smart. I think you can do that to Luke Kennard. I think you can do that to anyone who touches the ball, maybe other than LeBron. Even you might want to do it to LeBron just to get some miles on, just to get him working a little bit more, try to wear him down. I think that is something I was, A, surprised, and B, disappointed. I was disappointed in the Rockets.
I'm not mad.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
just
not
disappointed.
Just like, it felt like they left something in the tank. And maybe it's unfair to lump in holding Kevin Durant out, but it felt like a little bit of an arrogant game plan from the Rockets, or just like latent arrogancy that, like, hey, we can just kind of stroll in, beat up this crappy team, and we don't even have to, you know, really go all out. I mean, you had Josh Okogie as the primary matchup on LeBron James with the team that has, I don't know, three other guys that you think are more qualified to do that. Like, there's a lot of things that you're like, it felt very game one-y in a series that it's like, we'll make our adjustments later.
Yeah, I wonder what the adjustment will be, because LeBron, whether it be Jabari or Amen, is just bigger and stronger than both. Now, that matters certainly in the on the block. If LeBron was to take guys down there, maybe they thought Josh Okogie with more bulk could be a little bit more physical as LeBron was setting up in different spots to become more of a hub than a guy that was spreading the floor. So what adjustments will be made? Will we now, of course, if Kevin Durant's back, then all the adjustments are on the table as far as who's defending who. So we'll wait to see if we get that announcement. But that is game two tonight. Late start, so 9:30 our time. If you weren't aware, now you are. It's going to be a late night here in the city, hopefully. Yeah.
Have a cup of coffee or something.
Sure, however you want to stay up. I mean, cup of coffee would be the most legal version of that, but other people may use other things. Not promoting it, just saying I'm aware of it. So however you want to stay up to watch the Rockets, do that, and hopefully they reward you with the win. I would want Kevin Durant to play mostly beyond my own peace of mind about, hey, let's win this game, but it would mean that the injury is nowhere near as serious as it could be if he misses time, so more time. So we'll see on that. We'll talk about the rest of the league when we come back, because I have my new favorite non-Rocket in the playoffs. It's one Jaden McDaniels. We'll play the sound. Why? I don't know that I've ever heard a player of this era talk about, other than Dylan Brooks. He'll have things to say, but we expect that from Dylan Brooks. I didn't know you had this in you, Jaden McDaniels, but now I do. I know you could shove Jokic. Now I know you can trash the entire Nuggets team. We'll hear that sound. We'll talk more about the games, and we'll take your calls when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.